are our specialty drugs? Has price pressure in the US bottomed out? Are Indian companies innovating fast enough? What are biosimilars? Are we really over US FDA issues? Will pharma stocks ever show supernormal returns? These are some of the questions the Meds in Box podcast on CNBCTV18.com aims to answer. Hi, I'm Ekta Batra. Do tune in while I chat with the top voices in the pharma and healthcare space to get answers to the most challenging questions, spot the key trends, and identify the next leg of growth in the pharma and healthcare space. Only on CNBC TV 18. Hello and welcome to the Medicine Box on CNBCTV18.com with me, your host, Ekta Batra. This podcast aims to give you an insight on all things pharma and health, from discussing trends in industry to key issues in health with all the relevant experts. Our guest on today's podcast is Amit Rajan, who runs a quality and regulatory consultancy, Prosphora Technologies, out of Mumbai. Amit has over 20 years' experience in regulatory and quality assurances aspects of the pharmaceutical industry. That means advising companies on how to get Indian plants ready for various regulatory approvals, including US FDA, ensuring adherence to quality protocols, and aiding in remediation affairs. And that is exactly our topic for today. Regulatory issues in the Indian pharmaceutical space. What is it? Should we fear it? And are we over it? Hi, Amit. Welcome Hi. To the podcast.
Thanks.
Well, let's start with your background. You've worked for multiple pharmaceutical companies and you have your own consultancy. Your experiences over the past 20 years in terms of the regulatory affairs Indian pharma companies have to deal with. How have things changed from a US FDA perspective as well as from an Indian perspective over the past 20 years?
Yeah, see, I started my career actually in 20 years back with companies, working for companies like Sun Pharma, Torrent, Ranbaxy, moved on to Wockhardt, then to Elkem, and last I was working with Copra. See, US FDA, this was done majorly by the bigger companies. Like, you heard about Ranbaxy, Dr. Reddy's always, 10, 15 years ago, you never heard of so many FDA inspections happening in India. And nobody talked about US FDA's performance at the site and as of now, because
most of this news has actually picked up in the past 3 to 4 years.
Yes.
Where, you know, oh, the US FDA is inspecting
Correct.
Your site. Maybe a one-off impact used to be probably with what happened with Ranbaxy,
right.
maybe a one-off
right.
inspection with Wockhardt. But now the news and the pace has really picked up.
Right. I tell you why. See, if you see 15 years back, there was a generic hunger in US. There were a lot of molecules getting off patent, and there were not many generic companies offering generic products.
Hmm.
And US always wanted cheaper generic drugs to come to US, good quality, US FDA approved. Now, when you, let's say, take atorvastatin. When a government needs atorvastatin for their healthcare system, they want a cheaper generic drugs, and only Ranbaxy was there. And they walk into the Ranbaxy's facility, and even if they find that, okay, some dots have not been put on I and some crosses have not been done on T's, they looked at the other way because that was not creating problem for the quality of the drugs.
This was, say, 10 years ago.
10 years ago.
Hmm.
Now, if you look for any molecule, even if it's Suboxone yesterday, there are 4 or 5 players already in the market. So, the generic hunger is over.
Hmm.
Now, you have 5 of them and you have to pick the best out of them. That's why FDA has now increased its regulatory standards. They want the best to come to their country. And that is precisely why they have increased their inspection frequency.
But that's also because Indian companies are also supplying a lot more to the US.
Yes.
While their standards, the US FDA and other regulator standards have increased, our business has increased as well.
Absolutely.
So that also is resulting in higher scrutiny, right?
Yeah, and plus some economic issues, because 10 years before, there was no fee for the inspection.
Mm-hmm.
The US FDA used to spend its own money. The inspector used to travel and stay at their own cost.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have a JADUFA scheme where mm-hmm. you have to pay for the inspection and pay for the... So that's also a revenue model for the FDA to inspect more and more of the plant, because that's a commitment they have given to you.
Mm-hmm.
A, that your ANDA approval cycle will reduce. If you see 15 years back, the ANDA approval cycle was about 3 years, 3.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now it has come down to 11 months
mm-hmm.
because you pay for the ANDA fee. Earlier, ANDA fee was free. And the GMP inspection was also free.
Hmm.
So FDA could recruit more inspectors. There's a 15 members team sitting in Delhi. So that's why they can go to the plant regularly. I mean, unlike you go to US, The FDA is sitting in your plant on a daily basis.
Sure. Now, with regards to the one thing which I think the market fears or has now probably made its peace with a little bit is the Form 483.
Right.
What is a Form 483 and how should one interpret it?
See, Form 483 is actually a form number in the FDA's drug list. There's a Form 482 for an establishment registration form, 483 is for the deficiency form, 484 is for NDC registration. So there are they're form numbers actually. Hmm. So when the inspectors come to your factory, this inspectional observation form number in their database is called number 483. Hmm. And they necessarily have to issue you a 483. Even if they do not have a observation, they'll give you a cross 483. Now, FDA's policy is that they give the observations at site. Hmm. They don't leave it to you that, okay, this is what you write down and I'll come back and send you, like Europe. Europe never gives you the observation on site, officially.
Hmm.
They do tell you unofficially to work on the remediation quickly, but FDA has a policy that they sign off their 483s and give it to you at the site.
Hmm.
So much so that the FDAs come with their own printers. They have a small printer where they print. They do not even trust your PCs to print the 483 forms.
Okay. But when should an Indian company or when should maybe an investor be scared of a 483?
Right.
That, oh, this is going to impact the business and, oh, this 483 is not going to impact the business.
Yes. So this is where we come into picture, actually. See, even if I always want to assure you that even if the 483 numbers look like 20 in the, or 30 of them, it does not matter as long as there are procedural issues.
So you're talking about, say, a Form 483 which has, say, 10, 15, 20 observations.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't matter as long as the quality of the observation would be low.
Yes, and I'll explain to you further on this. See, let's say there are two inspectors who came to your site for 5 days. There will be observation because human beings make mistakes.
Hmm.
So let's say the observation number one says, okay, I have got a guy in your plant moving who was not properly dressed. So observation number one.
Hmm.
Observation number B, I saw somebody writing the date, he was not trained on that operation. So that's a procedural issue. So if you get 20 of them, it doesn't matter to you because they also know you'll make mistake and that's why they're auditors. But if you get one observation like this, that none of the observations that we found have a raw data to back up. That finishes the company. So it's 20 versus one. You have to decide what is the criticality of the observation. So that's why you see the noise that, okay, all these observations are procedural issue and it will be sorted out and blah, blah, blah. Procedural issues are expected. If you are a working plant, FDA would be more than happy to give you procedural observation. They want you to improve. Audits are not done to just find your mistakes. But at the same time, if you get into a data integrity issues, you have a data which is not matching or you have manipulated some data, that's where FDA comes into a big problem. So typically, FDA does not give an observation with respect to critical, major or minor, unlike EU. They always list out their everything in 483 form. They don't write critical, major or minor. Everything for FDA is critical.
Okay. Now, maybe 2 to 3 years ago, Indian companies were facing a lot of issues when it came to data integrity.
Correct.
In the observations.
Right.
It seems as though it's reduced.
Right.
But how critical is data integrity and have we actually improved?
See.
And what is data integrity?
Yes. See, you know, this data integrity, there's no need to, actually it was, the Indian pharma got into a mess, into data integrity, and there was no need for it, I tell you. If you see the genesis of data integrity, the genesis happened because of the Indian generic pharma moved to the race of para 4 and first to file. Right? And you are aware of that, how important is the approval for para 4 and first to file. Now what happens is, I'll give you a very simple example. You are a company in Europe which also are eyeing a para 4. I'm a company in India which eyeing a para 4. I know that all my technical documents must go on 1st of June 2019 for the 30 months mandatory
State.
Period to be qualified. Yeah. Now, many Indian companies started cooking the data. Means the data was good, but it was reported as if this knowledge was available 1 year before to us. And that is where FDA comes into problem. Because see, I always keep telling that justice should not be done, it should be seen as done. So if you have a European company like Sandoz or a Mylans or a Tevas of the world, if they did not meet the timelines, they dropped the project. They said, okay, this is not going to be our para 4. This is where we compromised on our integrity and we presented the data by showing from the computer's printout that, oh, this knowledge was available 1 year before. So, and that was tracked down. Because see, in pharma, after 1998, a guideline has been published by FDA that whatever data you produce has to comply to the audit trail requirements. Audit trail is a word that comes from the banking and insurance industry. Who has changed the data? At what time it was changed? Why was it changed? Was it approved?
So is audit trail the same as data integrity?
Yes, data integrity is the result of audit trail.
Okay.
So every equipment has to have an audit trail.
Okay.
If FDA walks in and finds out that, okay, you have equipment which are used for testing for American product or a British product, and you don't have the audit trail facility on, because see, it's up to the user to put it on. It's up to you for you to see whether you want to date on the PC or not date on the PC.
Sure.
If it's not on, it's automatic warning letter. It's automatic warning letter. And that's exactly happened in Divi's case.
Okay. Yeah. We'll come to stock. We'll come to some examples later on. But currently, are we okay with data integrity? We're focusing more on OOS
Yes. So as I told you, why data integrity was done. So we have good product, but since we wanted it to be done, to be shown one day before or 2 days before because of some commitments, we wanted to backdate our computers and all that. Now, this was a budget issue. It's not that easy on that you just be honest and the audit trail will be on from the next day. It also has a budget issue because the software comes with $1 million budget.
Sure.
Now, big pharma realized that, okay, this is not going to work. Because leadership running at the top never wanted this kind of thing to be happening in the plant. It's poor people in the lab who do the shortcuts. To put in an audit trail where you remove the person specific choice from the data, you put this software on, and that costs you a lot of money. So all big pharma has already covered it. So you will never ever see a data integrity issue coming out from all these listed companies which are very big.
Okay.
But the tier three, two ones who are still there in US, they're still not trying to implement data integrity properly.
Okay. What about out of specification observations which keep coming up recently? Yeah. What is it and how critical is it and does it take longer to resolve?
See, if you see, there are four major things that FDA looks a facility into. And the audits are done not to see how you're doing on those 3-4 days. They want to see how will you work when they are not here, right? So there are guidances published by FDA that, okay, if you get an out of spec, this is the steps you have to follow. And if you don't follow that, and why don't you do follow it? Because it's very time consuming to investigate and finally arrive at a out of specification is not failure. It's called out of spec. So you have to do probably a month long analysis and month-long investigation to find out whether the first analysis was right or wrong. And that's where we become lazy and don't do it. And that's where a company gets caught.
Okay. There have been examples where some companies haven't been able to solve one plant issue despite multiple remediation efforts which have taken place, plus also multiple inspections from the US FDA.
Right.
Now, the latest inspection was, for example, for Dr. Reddy's Dwada facility.
Right.
Two inspections after the warning letter in 2015, they've still got repeat observations this time round. Why does this happen?
See, to answer this question, you have to understand that there are three major areas of pharma companies getting inspected in India. A is a pure API manufacturer. B, a manufacturer who's a API cum drug product manufacturer, like Wockhardt. A is Divi's. And C is companies which are into drug product, API, as well as steriles. Now, sterile is a different ballgame.
Is injectable.
Unfortunately for us, as of now, I can tell you that all biotech products are steriles. So what I'm telling to you now has to be taken care of by the biotech fellows. Now, injectable is not only knowledge issue, it's also as an art issue. It brings in a lot of hygiene to be tested when you work on that. So if you are yourself full of bacteria, your nails, your eyes, eyes are the greatest contaminant, you will transfer those bacteria in the product. And that is where FDA comes into a lot of concern. So in case of the particular facility that you asked, is an injectable facility. And you can't, like in oral or facility, you write a response, you write what you call a CAPA, and FDA accepts it sitting in the office. Oh, that's fine. Injectable is something where they have to come and see your practices anyway. So that's why they keep coming and keep failing you if you don't write.
Okay, and injectable is obviously because it is pierced into your body, so it becomes much more critical.
It's a much higher risk molecule, yeah.
Now, the funny thing about that particular facility is that the German regulator gave its okay.
Yes.
And other regulators have given its okay, maybe. I think at least the European Union. But the US FDA has had an issue since 2015.
Right.
And we've seen this for many plants before as well. Two regulators differ on the same plant. Why?
See, first of all, yes, their audits are never all encompassing. So it's not, it's a sample audit. FDA comes in for 3 days and they do it. Germans, broadly speaking, 60% of the GMP or a quality management system is same across the globe, right? Now you have to find out whether the Germans approved one particular line or an entire facility, because Europe always approves a line. US FDA approves a facility, okay? Now, audit has, any approval, regulatory approval has two components. One is your technical part, which you have written in the file, and second is your practices part. Maybe the technical part, what the German must have seen in the DSA, must be perfect accordingly as per their commitment in EU. Mm-hmm. And you, as you would see also in US FDA, the technical part had no concerns. Mm-hmm. But practices part, what was? 20% of that gap I told you, the dissimilarity, is on practices part. US is very, very heavy on steroids. Mm. So maybe you can comply to the EU requirements, but we may not comply to the US FDA requirements. Okay. But that's fine with the regulators. Okay. They say, okay, if you comply to my requirements, I will clear you anyway.
Okay.
In oral dosage form, you'll find it many, many times. Yeah. That in OCHAR, like OCHAR's Daman facility was approved by UK, but not approved by US FDA, like kind
but
of.
But on OCHAR, they have had issues since 2013 in terms of multiple sites. Hmm. Still not seen the light of day. Why is it? And we've seen it with other companies as well. Ranbaxy, for example, before it was taken over, as well as IPCA. So multiple sites have an issue, and then remediation is obviously much, much slower for those.
See, if you see back to Wockhardt's story, Wockhardt first got problem into the Walu site, right? And there is where the organization came up and said, look, we will shift our products to Sikkathana. That's a typical answer that you see from coming from the management. Hmm. Without knowing that the similar issues also were, must be there at the plant. See, Wockhardt is a multi-product, multiple site issue. Once FDA finds out a cultural issue in the company, then getting back their trust in terms of re-inspection. Why Wockhardt? Let's look at IPCA. Hmm. They're not giving an inspection date from FDA because see, the trust is broken. Hmm. They were the path break, they are the leaders in, from Indian company in terms of API manufacturing and formulation. And because their multiple sites got into problem, the trust that they had with FDA has broken. Hmm. And that trust will take a lot of time to get patched.
This trust, is it also a culture issue in India?
The trust also always is a culture issue. Hmm. Because see, FDA, both at IPCA and Wockhardt, is convinced with various inspection that it's not the chemist sitting in the laboratory who has done this mistake. Hmm. It is somewhere at the leadership level has asked them to do that. Hmm. And that is where they have to come out and convince the FDA in the next inspection.
Okay. So it is definitely some top-down changes
absolutely,
take place.
In terms of approach.
Okay. Just I want to discuss Divi's. Divi's got out of its problems in record time after an import alert which was lifted.
Yeah.
Why is it that Divi's saw the kind of success that it did?
See, first of all, when you review the pharma companies in terms of their inspection and response and reapproval, that I told you, demarcate them between API, drug product, and Divi's is an API company. Hmm. No, when FDA audits your plant, it expects that, see, API directly doesn't go to US. It goes to a consumer, a customer in like Merck or Teva, where they will make a tablets out of it, right? Hmm. So when FDA inspects the API plant, they also know that more than our remediation they will do, the customer will also help them to remediate. Uh-huh. Because customer needs their API anyway. It's not an end product. Hmm. So if you see after Divi's, Sandoz, Merck, Pfizer came to Divi's and their QA team worked with Divi's to remediate. So they become faster. So API companies generally come faster in remediations.
Okay. Lastly, the one thing that I think a lot of people have lack of clarity on is the different type of inspections as well. For example, a PAI inspection or a pre-approval inspection for a product goes successfully, but then soon after CGMP inspection or a general inspection will go unsuccessful.
Right.
So how do we interpret both of them and what is the difference and which one is more important?
Yeah. See, any company which files a drug master file or a ANDA, the FDA comes and the first inspection of the factory is called a pre-approval inspection. Hmm. Or any inspection that is linked to a new DMF or a new ANDA is called a PAI. Hmm. Now, in pre-approval inspection, the FDA only reviews your technology data, which you have committed to their US office. And they look at the raw data and they do a general round and all that. Because, see, please understand, and there's a data to back this, that 50% of the companies which are US FDA approved in India side, they have not been a serious ANDA player. Hmm. So they also know that, no, you are not fit for commercial supplies.
So India needs to basically get over this white skin fear syndrome.
Absolutely.
Also,
I'm telling you, US FDA is our best friend. Hmm. We are 20 years ahead of China. Hmm. US has no option than to take quality medicines from India. Hmm. And believe me, all this patent thing and all that is happening, thanks to US, that they want cheaper quality generics to come from India. Because they know it's not coming from China for next 20 years.
Okay. All right, Amit, thank you very much for joining in on the Medicine Box and discussing all of the issues and the nitty-gritties with regards to the Form 483 as well as the entire regulatory landscape of the pharma space. Thanks very much.
Thank you.